traditionally, okay, we're going to do a baby dedication, and we would take this time right now to do a dedication or two and dedicate some babies, and then we've been planning a baptism service today, and I don't know that I could do baptisms without teaching on it first. So this morning and the last few days I've been looking at it and just restudying and asking the Lord where He wanted to go with it. And then all of a sudden I saw the baby dedications and baptism all tied in together and went, well, now I don't know what to do. So I think I just gonna teach on both and then we'll respond to it. Amen. If that's all right with everybody, we'll just kind of throw tradition out the window this morning and whatever else you might call that. But I just saw some things in reading and studying about baby dedication this morning that I would like to teach on first. A child dedication. It was cool. Steve gave the definition of that. This morning, to dedicate means to set apart, to consecrate it. To dedicate a child is to say, Lord, I set this child apart for you. I give this child to you. I got reading in 1 Samuel, which is a common text about baby dedication, and we read about Hannah. And Hannah, she'd had no children, and the cry of her heart was to have a child. I know there are many moms in here that the cry of your heart is to have a child. And Hannah begins to cry out to the Lord and to seek the Lord. And her husband has another wife, and I didn't even pick up on her name. Forgive me for that. But she's mocking her in their culture to have a barren womb, to not give birth to children, was a disgrace, and you were looked down upon. And there's story after story in the Old Testament that they were looked down upon and they were mocked for it. And the woman whose womb was barren was the one that was always crying out for the Lord and crying out for mercy. I mean, mercy is that the Lord would have compassion on her and make an endeavor to bring relief to her. So if a woman that can't have a child is crying out for mercy, it's, Lord, have compassion on me in the condition that I'm in. And also, Lord, that you would make an endeavor, that you would bring relief to me, that you would bring me a child. And was reading about Hannah this morning, and she's vexed in her spirit. She's upset, and they go every year to go worship the God at the temple. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, it says she vowed a vow. She vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if looking, you will look upon the affliction of your handmaid and shall remember me and not forget your handmaid and shall give to your handmaid a seed of men, then I will give him to Jehovah all the days of his life and a razor shall not go upon his head. And she was making a vow that, Lord, if you will bless me with this child will serve you. I will dedicate this child back to you. It was a matter of her identity that was being afflicted. It was against her. But it wasn't selfish she just wanted to bear a child. And she makes this vow, and a vow is very serious. When we dedicate a child, we stand before the congregation and we're making a public proclamation before everyone that we are dedicating this child to the service of the Lord. You're, as a parent, you're saying, I am going to raise this child in a nurture and admonition of the Lord, and asking everyone and calling on everyone to bear witness of that and to hold accountability to that. It's a big deal. When you make a vow to the Lord, when you dedicate a child to the Lord, it is a very serious thing. The vows put our soul in bondage. A vow is a very serious thing when you vow. I haven't shared this with many people, but I made a vow in my own heart to the Lord when I picked up the guitar and began learning the guitar. I asked the Lord to teach me how to play the guitar, and I made a vow in my heart that, Lord, I won't play any other music but worship music. I just want to learn to worship you. Is the temptation there to learn other songs? Sure, there's a lot of different music out there, and there's a lot of good songs, but I will not strum my guitar to any of those things. I will only play my guitar to worship the Lord. Is it binding to my soul? Is it a burden? Yeah. but it's a sacrifice that I decided in my heart that I was going to make unto the Lord. And with dedicating children, that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, I'm dedicating this child. I'm recognizing, I am making, child dedication is an expression of thanksgiving. No different than Abraham when Abram meets Melchizedek. Melchizedek makes some proclamations in Genesis 14. He makes some proclamations. He says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be Abram of the Most High God who has given your enemies into your hand. And by what he's saying in that, when he says that he's the possessor of heaven and earth, Melchizedek, being a priest of the Most High God, makes the proclamation that word possess means redeemed. And in the Hebrew language, it's not in, they don't speak in tense. It's not past tense, present tense, or future tense. It's just a statement and no different than I am. What Melchizedek is saying, he's saying that the Lord God, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, who has redeemed heaven and earth, who is redeeming heaven and earth, and who will redeem heaven and earth. And then he makes the proclamation, because Abram has just defeated these other kings trying to rescue his nephew Lot, or did rescue his nephew Lot. He makes another proclamation. He says, oh, by the way, Abraham, the Lord has delivered your enemies into your hands. This isn't by your own hand that you've done this. And when he makes that proclamation that the Lord has delivered him into his hands, the response from Abraham is a tithe. And all that response is, in the same way that we tithe, it's recognizing that God, he has redeemed all things. He has purchased heaven and earth. He's redeemed heaven and earth. He is redeeming heaven and earth, and he will redeem heaven and earth. The promises of our eternal salvation are secure. God is faithful to those things that he's promised. And in that, when we tithe, when we do those things, we are bearing witness saying, I agree with the proclamation that's just been made of who God is in my life. When he says that, when Melchizedek says that the Lord has delivered your enemies into his hands, when he tithes, what he's saying is, I stand in agreement and bear witness of what you just proclaimed out loud. The same God in his heart that had been stirred and that he knew that was there, although he didn't have a relationship with him yet, he was knowing that there was God, and you start studying the walk of Abraham, which I've been doing lately, and it's no different than us. Imagine that, Abraham's man. I can totally relate to what Abraham went through, but at that point, a minister, a priest to the Most High God, makes a proclamation of the God that Abraham was desiring to know. And when he makes the proclamation, there's a response. He can't help but respond. And a tithe of everything that he had was given to Melchizedek, saying, I raise my hand to the Lord and I agree with everything you just said. And in the same way, the child dedication is the same thing. I raise my hand to the Lord knowing that you've blessed me with these children. And Lord, I dedicate this child back to you. Seeing the faithfulness of God, you can't help but respond with some sort of act. Faith in God and agreement, and when you come into witness with it, it requires some sort of outward sign. Yes, I agree. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. It's an outward agreement to it. My uncle, last May, passed away from brain cancer. 2 days, 3 days before he passed away, I'm sitting there having a conversation with him, and he had been in and out. I didn't even know if he could understand the conversation. And he's laying there in the bed, and he's talking, and going through this cycle, and he's saying, he'd go from fear, I don't want to die. Anybody relate to that? I can relate totally with what he was talking about. He's saying, I'm afraid, I don't want to die, and he would cry and sob and hold my hand. The next breath, he would say, I don't know how this happened. And he would start trying to figure it out. I always tried to be a good person. I always tried to do good things. I tried to do the best that I can. And then he would go to this place of anger. And all of this in about a 10 minute period of time. And he would get to this place of anger when it's like, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And then back to the fear. I don't want to die. And he kept going through this cycle. And finally I stopped him and looked at him and said, I'm just going to be real with you, Uncle. This is the truth of the whole thing. We're all going to die. Fear it or not, we're all going to die. We're all going to experience a physical death. No one will get away with not experiencing that. Even the two in the Bible, Enoch and Elijah, that didn't experience physical death. When they come back upon the earth again, they will experience the physical death. They will be martyred in the street. We're all going to experience a physical death. But the faithfulness of God is greater than that. I looked at my uncle and I said, Uncle, we're all going to die. And I don't understand why this happens to be your course. I don't understand why it seems to be this way. But this I know, you're not being punished. And suddenly there was a sobriety to his eyes. And he stopped and he looked up at me and he looked me straight in the eye. And I said, you are not being punished. Jesus Christ took our punishment on the cross. And he nodded yes. He just shook his head yes. Look at me straight in the eye and he nodded yes. It was a reaction to the Spirit of God drawing him and making that he made, there was a response to the faith that I'm not being punished. Jesus took my punishment. There was a moment of salvation right there. If he hadn't received Christ earlier in his life, if he didn't understand it, he accepted it right then, and there was an outward expression of, I believe what you just declared into my life. Jesus died for our punishment. There's an outward response to it. I think about, this is, how does baptism and child dedication, how do they tie together? And I went, really, God? Really? I started looking back at the labor. I mentioned it in James 4 last week. And James 4, James is writing and he says, adulterers and adulteresses, and he goes through that whole part and he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. And I was showing that in the tabernacle and the labor and what James is talking to, writing to Jews, and the temple was, it was everything to them. And when you look at it and understand what they were doing and turning away from the Lord, that place of covenant in the Spirit, when they turned away from it, James is calling them back. Cleanse your hands. In a sense, go to the labor again. Cleanse your hands. That's where you cleansed your hands in the temple, was at the labor. The labor, I started looking through notes from when I've taught it before in the PowerPoint slides, and man, it just stirred me up. The labor, there's such a message in that. And it's one of the least taught on things. It's one of the least understood things. There isn't very much in Scripture that even talks about the labor. But the labor was made out of the bronze mirrors. They used bronze and would polish bronze, and it's the mirror, that was the mirrors that the Egyptians would look into. And when the children of Israel left Egypt, when God led them out of Egypt, they took the plunder. They plundered Egypt. And part of what they took were the mirrors, the bronze mirrors that they had in Egypt. And those mirrors were hammered together and hammered into the laver. So you can see a reflection in the laver. And the laver held water. And you can look through the water. When you look at the laver, bronze represents judgment. And when you see a reflection in it, it is your self-judgment. How many of us struggle with self-judgment? Not being worthy. All of those kind of things. And why would God talk to us? And the bronze mirrors represent judgment. And when you look at your reflection and it represents your self-judgment. And there was water in it. And you would go, the priest would present the sacrifice and he would go to the laver and he would wash the blood from his hand. I sat there and imagined that in my mind and think about that. When you're standing there, if it's bronze and you can see a reflection in the bronze and you fill it with water, you can see your reflection in the bronze through the water, or if you just change your perspective a little bit and look at the surface of the water, you can see your reflection in the surface of the water. And imagine washing blood off of your hands, and the more you wash the blood off of your hands, and the more the water becomes, the darker the water gets, the harder it becomes to see the reflection out of the bronze, and the more clear the reflection would be in the surface of the water. Throughout Scripture, there are Scriptures that talk about the Spirit of God and Him speaking from the water. Let me find my note here. Genesis 1:1-3 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters and He spoke, be light. The chaos. God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. It starts off describing earth and the things that are upon the earth being in chaos. And God deals with chaos by bringing structure and order. He speaks. And when God speaks, things happen. When God said, let there be light, there began to be a structure and a division between the light and the darkness. Things began to happen and order began to come to the earth because he spoke. And then the chaos that's in us is no different. The only way for the chaos to go away is to hear what the spoken word is to you. What's the Lord saying to you? The chaos that was in me for 29 years of my life began to be, I won't say that it's completely solved, but it began to be resolved and began to be in order the day that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I began believing into the word that he spoke to me instead of me trying to make sense of everything that was going on around me. When I began to believe his proclamation of who I am. When I began to respond to what he says that I am. Order and peace began to come to my life. I think of these things in terms of baptism. It's all about identity at the laver. The first time they used the tabernacle, they bring Aaron, God's chosen, they bring him to the laver, they've presented the sacrifices, they bring him to the laver, and they strip him of his garments. Strip him naked, a little vulnerable. It represents the identity. His old identity was removed. They washed him with that water from the laver. They washed him from head to toe. There was a removing of the old identity. There was a cleansing. It was outward. In the Old Testament, it was outward. But the representation is there that our old identity is removed. We are washed from head to toe. All of the defilement is washed away. And then he was given the priestly garments. And they dressed him in the priestly garments and then anointed him with oil. The message that is in that is life. It's the same thing for us in salvation. My old identity is removed. Mike the sinner is removed. I'm washed from head to toe by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm washed. The defilement gone. Not just covered over, but washed clean. I'm washed and then I am given a new identity. I'm given new garments in Christ Jesus. He clothes me in his righteousness. He clothes me in his majesty. I'm given a new identity. I share all this about the laver because I believe it is the Old Testament representation of baptism. Isn't baptism the same thing? When Jesus is baptized, it says he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Identity was spoken to him. In John 3, he has a conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, if anyone is not generated anew, he is not able to be perceiving the kingdom of God. So unless we're willing to believe that God is, Unless we're willing to believe in the Scripture and be generated anew by faith, just faith in Jesus Christ, if we're not willing to do that, we will not perceive, we will not be able to see the kingdom of God. And it's not talking about in the future, it's talking about you won't be able to perceive it now. How many of us live in the kingdom now? I didn't get any hands on that one. That concerns a pastor. All right, maybe we won't. Yeah. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Valahan. Somebody, how many people have experienced the kingdom of God here right now? How many of us want more of it in our life right now? Now we're getting somewhere. You just got to ask the right question, huh? This pastor's feeling better now. Ah. Wow. Okay, if anyone is not generated anew, he is not able to be perceiving the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you look at this in the Greek, in a little, I believe, a little closely, he's not bothering me, so. And he's handsome. Do you see this guy? The scripture says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In the Greek, it says, if anyone is not generated out of water and of Spirit, he cannot be coming into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus continues, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or you must be generated anew. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered him and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? We must be born out of the water and of the Spirit. First John 5:5-8 says, he that overcometh the world, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, or in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Romans 6. It's dealing with the identity of man as sinner. We all are born into it by the blood of Adam. We are all sinners. Okay? We're all born into it. But we are born again out of it by the blood of Jesus. Okay? Sin no longer has dominion over me. I am no longer Mike the sinner. Do I have a struggle or two? Occasionally. Anybody else? See, I feel so much better now. Struggles nonetheless, but the day that we stop trying to overcome our struggles is the day we fall back into being sinner. There's the struggle that we have. We've got to continue forward in the things of God and continue and not just take it as justification that I've got a struggle and I just continue on in my life the way that it is. Jesus came to set us free. Amen? I'm not going to give sin its place. It says, what shall we say then? Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let it not be. We who died to sin, how shall we live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be nullified, so that we are no longer served sin. For the one that died has been justified from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that also we shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer lords it over him. For in that he died to sin once for all, but in that he lives to God. So also you count yourselves to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body, to obey it in its lust. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as one living from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to God. For your sins shall not lord it over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Let it not be. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. For as you presented your members slaves to uncleanness and to lawless act unto lawless act, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed as to righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you have then in the things over which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having been enslaved to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Baptism is a representation. It's a representation as you go and are fully immersed in the water. It's a representation saying, I stand before everyone here that I am saying that I am dying with Christ, being buried with Him, and being raised to new life in Christ Jesus. The old identity of sinner, the old identity of Mike is gone. I've been washed and raised to new life in Christ Jesus. That's the proclamation that it's making. We all stand together and watch somebody and witness somebody being baptized, bearing witness of the fact that they have died with Christ and are raised to new life. We now should view them and bless them in who Christ says they are. Not cursing them and speaking of the things they once were, but who they are anew, regenerated in Christ Jesus. That's the body of Christ, in blessing them is remembering. Even when you see them in their struggle, our foremost thought should be that which we have witnessed, those things in Christ, and be a declaration to them and remind them, wait a minute, that's not who you are. I bear witness of your baptism. I bear witness of your confession and agreeance with the things of Christ. I've witnessed you dying with Him, being raised to new life. What we long for and what we want to encourage them is to be the expression of that new life. No longer standing in condemnation, but in freedom and in grace, and offering mercy. Offering a hand to those that are struggling. I looked at this morning and went, wow. Baby dedication is nothing but a response. God looked down on us in our condition of sinner. God looked down on us in our condition of death, and He had mercy on us. He had compassion for us, and He made a real and tangible endeavor to bring relief to our suffering. And in that, when we receive that, and we are relieved from our suffering of death and raised to new life, can't you help? You can't help but make a proclamation and a response that says, Lord, everything that I have and every life that comes from me is dedicated to You. And that's what child dedication is. It's a response to the mercy that's been given to us. It's a response to that mercy. In the same way that Hannah responded when she bore a child, when she had the child, her response was back to that vow that she had made, Lord, I'm going to dedicate this child. It was a natural response to the faithfulness of God. Her suffering had been relieved, and there was a response to it. I dedicate this child to You. It's the same thing with us. We were dead. I was yet dead in my trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, by grace and grace alone, not that I deserved it, but He looked upon me in my condition of death, and He chose to speak life into me. He chose to satisfy the punishment of my sin by the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And by faith, we believe it. Amen? Child dedication is a natural response to that. Amen? Have we made Him wait long enough?
He was ready when He went over there.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Well, we've got a couple children to be dedicated here this morning. We have parents that are responding to the grace of God. Amen? That's something to be celebrated. That's something that should be encouraged. I love it when parents say, I want to dedicate my child. It's a response to their own faith, and they're receiving the mercy of God. If you don't believe in a God that saves, why would you dedicate your child to Him? Right? The only people that are going to say, I want to dedicate my child to the Lord are people that have experienced His mercy. And when you have, you can't help but give everything back to Him. In the same way that Abraham agreed with the proclamation of Melchizedek and presented the tithe as a response, when you have children and you receive the mercy of God, you can't help but respond in dedicating them back to the Lord and say, Lord, if we really know what it's all about, we just go, Lord, I don't have a clue on what to do. I got 7 that I don't have a clue what to do with. Not a clue. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, they'll grow up and serve God themselves. By the grace of God, if we dedicate them now and they witness and watch us baptize and share the gospel and those things, at a certain day, they're going to make that choice and they're going to be baptized and they will continue to dedicate their children. This is how it's passed from one generation to the other. Amen? So let's set an example for our children. Let's dedicate some babies here this morning. Amen. We better get Cyrus up here because he's about to dance with Mom. Okay, you got some stuff there for me, Marcos? I'm going to bring that to me real quick. And I would like to invite Aaron and Hortensia and their family up here. I would like to invite Logan and Lonnie Taylor. If they would like, are we on this morning? Come on up here. And I need to get something over here real quick. All right. Well, you guys are here. We'll get both families up here. And I'm going to ask some people in a moment to come up here. Hi. Well, he's not. See, you get him up here, and now he's quiet. He's like, whoa. You just didn't know that you were the center of attention down there. All right. Beautiful families. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, as soon as when Hannah dedicates the child, when she's made the vow, she has the child and she weans the child, and when she brings the child and dedicates the child to the temple, there is a proclamation, and she begins to pray and she begins to make a proclamation when Jesus is dedicated as a baby in the temple. There is prophecy and blessing that follows that. And people, and so there is a natural response when someone does this, the spirit of prophecy, blessing the families and blessing the children is a big part of this. So I would like to ask Val Ann and my wife if she would come be a part of it. No? Okay. What's that? Okay. My wife is asking to be excused because of the fans in her eyes, so... Val-Ann, if you would please come join me. Come on up. I'm looking here. Grumps, will you come up and help me? Where are some other people here? Crystal, can you come up? And we're going to lay hands and pray for the families. Hortensia, as I read about Hannah this morning, you've had that same cry in your heart that she had. And I just saw the parallel of that story and I know you are a mom at heart and God's given you that heart. And we recognize that. We bear witness of that heart as a congregation this morning. We bear witness of that heart and I know how much of a blessing he is. I know you had Kyle and that is, you would trade nothing in the world for that. But your heart longed for another child and I know that you know you've been blessed. Just as Hannah did, to be blessed with that child is a beautiful thing. So I just want to honor you in that this morning and thank God for answering the cry of your heart. And I know that Aaron, you guys have been through much. And look at the blessing of God. This is a testimony of God's faithfulness. So we would just like to pray for you. I've got some oil here and just going to pray as the Lord leads. And anyone else that want any oil, if the Lord leads you to lay hands on, we're going to bless the Furby family, and then we are going to move to this beautiful family also. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the cry of a mom's heart. And I recognize the call of God, and who you created her to be is the mother of this home. And I thank you for the love that wells up within her, Lord, for her children. And the world would say some of them are not even her children, because, Lord, I see her mother and reach out and love any child that comes into her presence. So, Lord, we bless her right now. I thank you for her. I thank you for the call of God that is on her life. I thank you for a husband, Lord, that supports his wife in these things. Lord, unite their hearts together that Jesus would be presented not only to their children, but, Lord, to everyone that they come in contact with. I thank you for Kyle, Lord God, and for a man of God who's chosen this day, Lord, to respond by baptism, Lord, to join you in your death and your burial and your resurrection, Lord. I thank you for a young man who is choosing the things of Christ at a young age. Bless him, Lord. Protect him in it, Lord God. Lord, that he would be a mighty man of God that would speak the words of God. That he would speak words of life into children that are around him, Lord, into the adults that are around him, Lord. That age would not bind him in it, O God, but there would be words of life that would be spoken out of his mouth, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. May there be a freedom to his tongue, Lord God, as he blesses, as he speaks life. I thank you, Lord, for your protection over him. And Lord, we bless Cyrus right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that this child has been dedicated to the service of God. That peace would be about him. That everyone that he comes in contact would feel the peace of God and know that this is a called child of God. That they would bear witness of it, Lord, and that peace would follow him all of his days. The joy would be about him, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to your promise. We bless them. I bless the extended family, those that have committed, Lord God, to raising these children, to being a part of their lives, Lord. I thank you that we are members one of another, and you've placed these things upon their heart, Lord. I thank you for the vow of dedication that has been made here this day. We bear witness of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I would ask you guys if you will help pray for the Taylor family. And this family has been through much recently. and are in the middle of much with the loss of loved ones. And the beauty of it is the new life. And they lost a loved one this week, and I was unsure if this would still be appropriate at this time. And the beauty of it is the family said, absolutely, we still want to do this. And they're not going to let the loss of life stop them from recognizing the new life that they've been blessed with. And I just thank you guys for following through and for, not that you wouldn't have done it in the future, but not allowing these things to hold you back. That this is something that is definitely on your heart to stand before this congregation and to say, we're going to raise this baby in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a beautiful family. Logan, God is raising you up for such a time as this, my brother. Okay? And remain humble and just take the Lord's hand and walk with Him. He's your strength through all of it, okay? So let's pray for this family. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the Taylors, Lord. I thank you for a dad, Lord, that is stepping into the call of God, that is hearing your voice, that is seeing you at work in his life. And Lord, there are many questions that still search around in his heart. But Lord God, you are faithful to answer those. You are faithful, O God. Lord, I thank you that you will transition us, Lord, from the reign of Saul to the kingdom of David. Lord, you bring things out of man efforts and you bring them into the Spirit of God. You bring them in to the calling and authority of your kingdom. So Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in this family. I thank you for mom, for a humble mom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for her humility, the example that she is to all of us, Lord, for the joy and the smile that she brings to those that she passes by each day. And I thank you for this beautiful family and the fruit of it, Lord. We bless this baby in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Reese, with peace, with joy, with love. That the spirit of prophetess would be upon her, that she would speak the oracles of God in peace and in love and in joy. We bless this family, Lord God, and pray that you would strengthen them in this time. Lord, there is much in their path right now and much to be dealt with. But Lord, I thank you that your peace, you have overcome the world, Lord, and in that they will overcome the world also. So we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these beautiful families a hand this morning. Amen. That was kind of weak. Thank you. All right. Bless you all. You may have a seat. And I have some. Here is his certificate and his first Bible, or maybe, I think it might be his first Bible. And there is also, in that envelope, there is a letter from me to him that he's to open at 18, on his 18th birthday. So he can open that, and we also have one for Reese, her first Bible, I think, unless you already got her one. And there is also a letter in there to her on her 18th birthday also, so. Let's give them a hand again and give praise to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have some people in here today that they want to be baptized. They just want to say, you know what? In front of everyone as a witness, I dedicate my life to the Lord and I join him in his death and his burial and his resurrection and join him in that life, in that new life. Amen. So we're going to, I know there's food that's going to be on afterwards. We're all going to go out here on the lawn. If you want to help with food or however this all works, we're just going to go out here to the swimming pool that I had all kinds of fun trying to set that up this morning. You don't want to find out that the pool has holes in it the morning of. Thank God for packing tape. It worked. Yes. They're what? She said they're holy holes. You're right. Whatever they are, they're still holes and they need to be plugged or we weren't going to use that pool this morning. So let's move out on the lawn and we will baptize anyone that wants to be baptized this morning.